नए संकल्प लें फिर से, नए नारे गढ़ें फिर से, नए संकल्प लें फिर से, नए नारे गढ़ें फिर से, उठो संग्रामियों जागो, उठो संग्रामियों जागो, नई शुरुआत करने का समय फिर आ रहा है, कि जीवन को चटक कुल्लार करने का समय फिर आ रहा है। चलो अब एक नए अभियान के पदचाप गूंजे, चलो अब एक नए अभियान के पदचाप गूंजे, मौत की सुनसान सुनी वादियों में फिर कि नूतन सर्जना के राग भर दें, शोक गीतों भरी इन घाटियों में फिर दरकती हिमशिलाएं, दरकती हिमशिलाएं, सर्दियों के बाद हरदम ही वसंत आता रहा है, यह प्रकृति की गति रही है, अंधेरे गर्भ में ही रोशनी पलती रही है, अंधेरे गर्भ में ही रोशनी पलती रही है, पराजय झेलने पर ही शिविर में न्याय की हरदम मशाले जीत की जलती रही है, पराजय आज का सच है, पराजय आज का सच है, समर तो शेष है फिर भी, उठो ओ सर्जकों, उठो ओ सर्जकों, नव जागरण के सूत्र रचने का समय फिर आ रहा है, कि जीवन को चटक गुलनार करने का समय फिर आ रहा है।
ओम शांति। देयर वॉज अ वेडिंग इवेंट गोइंग ऑन न्यूयॉर्क एंड वन ऑफ द गेस्ट्स स्टूड अप एंड सेड, I have a very, very rare coin with me. This is a coin from Egypt and it is approximately 2500 year old and I got it for $25,000. It's one of the rarest things on earth. And there are only two such coins. This one I have, and the another one somebody on this planet Earth owes. And I would like to take this opportunity to introduce this coin to you all. You can see it, you can feel it. It's very rare, exquisite coin. The coin started passing from one hand to another hand. People were asking, what metal is this? Who was the king when this coin was in use? Who is that other person who must be having this coin? So they were various questions people were raising, and the coin kept passing from one hand to another hand. There were about 200 people in that event, and suddenly the coin disappeared. The atmosphere became tense. Where is the coin? Nobody has any idea. The owner of the coin said, I want the coin. The doors got closed. And it was decided that all those people who are there, they should be checked. Everybody agreed to this. Even police were informed. So the checking started. But suddenly one person got up and said, I am a guest, not a thief. Why should I allow you to check me? People were shocked to see this response and they said, if you are not a thief, why you are afraid? He said, I am not a thief, that's why I will not allow anybody to check me. And if you do so, I have a pistol with me. And everybody got frightened. Again, people were trying to convince that man, if you are not a thief, why you are so afraid? There's no point in getting scared. He said, no, I will not allow. It was a wedding ceremony, but the atmosphere of festivity turned into theft. An unusual, eerie stress. And when this was going on, everybody thought, this must be the man who stole. Otherwise, there is no point in getting up and saying, I have not stolen. So this must be the person who has stolen the coin. And the owner of the coin was very furious. He said, at any cost, I want the coin. When all these things were going on, the waiter who was moving around lifts the jug on the table and lo and behold, the coin is there. The coin was found. Everybody turned towards that man who was holding the pistol. What was the point in saying that you did not steal? And that man puts his hand into the pocket and brings out a similar coin. And he says to the crowd, I am the second person who owns the same coin. But if I had told this before, do you think you would have believed me? No, you would not have believed me. Everybody thought, rather, came to a firm conclusion that this is the thief. The man said, actually, I had brought this coin so that everybody should see. But before I could show, this other person showed. And he was right when he said that only two coins exist. And I am the one who owns the second coin. The story closes here. We see fragments. We see one part of the story. We have been trained, we have been rather conditioned to see one dimension of things. And when we start seeing the entire spectrum, things would be different. You have come here and in this beautiful, beautiful Pacific atmosphere where the mind is calm, The atmosphere is so beautiful. You can sit here and see your entire life as a one whole picture rather than the fragmented version of it. So I just sit alert, close your eyes and imagine there is a huge screen in front of your eyes. And on that screen, see your entire life. Your journey that started from childhood till now. Go down the memory lane. See the place where you were born. That place, that village, that city, that house, your parents, siblings. This is where you started off. Further ahead, the school, the teachers, the homework, the exams, the childhood pranks, the mischievous activities, the bunks. And everything that you did in your infancy, childhood. Further ahead, college life, friends, parties, extracurricular activities. Ambitions, study, even further ahead. Career, marriage, job, occupations, social life, digital life. Happy moments, unpleasant moments, the sudden shocks life gave. Come to the present scenario. See the house where you stay. The people around you, your office, your job. What is your routine? Just bring that in front of you. See the entire picture. All blacks and whites. All positives and negatives. Now come back here in this hall. The mind is calm. The intellect is stable. There is an unusual sense of peace around. The stress is gone. I am a peaceful soul. Open the eyes. So when we see everything as a whole, new dimensions, new aspects, new understanding come to us. Long back, I remember when I had come to this place way back in 2003, I was struggling a lot, having undergone a period of turmoil, spiritual turbulation. And a quest brought me here. Just as you all have come here, I had come here at the age of 21 with a zeal to realize what is life, what is the purpose of this life, why I am here, what I have to do. There was intense restlessness, extreme restlessness, and that restlessness got calm down in this place. Before we try to understand and discuss today's topic, Human 2.0, the inner upgrade, I would like to tell you my own story in short. When I was 15 year old, my parents wanted me to become a doctor. And in Maharashtra, there is one entrance exam, Sevagram Medical College, which is an autonomous body. So you have to give that exam. That exam had got four subjects: physics, chemistry, biology, and the fourth, Gandhian thoughts. So my father got me a book, The Story of My Experiment with Truth by M.K. Gandhi. So I was too young. I just finished my 12th standard and there were holidays. It was just the third day. And I took that book and I started reading. Whilst reading that book, suddenly I went into silence. I read, the author said, I smoked, I repented. I spoke untruth, I repented. I ate non-vegetarian food, I repented. I was just reading it casually, reading it because I wanted to give exam so that I can qualify for Sevagram Medical College. But sudden transformation happened. I went in deep silence, and for next 6 months, I never spoke with anyone. The silence was so deep, as if I was going towards the world and suddenly somebody came and made me move on the another path. There was yet another book lying in our house, old tattered book, Love of God by Saint Francis de Sales. I started reading that book and the author was saying, I have been pierced by the arrow of God's love and I bleed. I was touched by these words and I didn't understand what to do, and I went in silence. The silence was so deep and so profound that not a single word came out from my mouth. For next 6 months, my parents were worried. They wanted to take me to some ENT guy to find out the reason for not speaking. And then suddenly, 12th exam result came. The marks were very good. That time PCB and PCM group were there. 95%, 97%. I was getting admission anywhere, medical or engineering. Parents said that you go for medical. I agreed. I agreed in the sense I had nothing to say. Whatever they said, I did. because even when that news came and there was so much joy and celebration around, I was totally detached at that moment. I remember I was reading Saint Francis, "The more perfect your patience is, the more perfect you become." I was in the medical college for 4.5 years. And in those 4.5 years, I was incessantly in search of God. There was not a single institution, not a single book, not a single philosophy I did not undergo. I did not study. Every day a new book, every day a new temple, hundreds of Ram Kathas and hundreds of Bhagavad Kathas. On one side was medical study, on another side was the search. What is this? What is this? What is it? Atato Brahma Jidnyasa. What is it? I want to know. Most of my MBBS exam, MBBS study, I did in temples. Those 4.5 years was a period of restlessness. But I used to love medical studies a lot because I understood for the first time how a patient comes in a moribund state, about to die, and they treat and he is revived. So I started developing some faith. So two things were going on together. MBBS finished. Everybody went home. I stayed in the hostel itself. And again, there was a second turning point in life. 7 days of silence again, after 4.5 years. There was one spiritual speaker, Alka Shriji, had come. And she was giving discourse on Ramayana. And I heard that. So again, a new awakening happened. And then the internship started. For 1 year, we were posted in different departments, ortho, medicine, surgery, gynae. But I was very different. I felt as if every patient is God in disguise. And I have to serve. My aim is just to service. Service, service and service and nothing else. Shivad Jnane Jiva Seva. Manav Seva is nothing but Madhav Seva. And I was fired. People used to say, "You are very sincere," but it was not at all my sincerity. There was some divine vision that gripped me. And that 1 year, I did not study for post-graduation entrance at all. All my friends were studying so that they qualify for post-graduation. Internship finished. Again, now the third turning point came. Everybody said, "You should go for post-graduation." I was least interested. I went to my brother's place. He was also doing MBBS in Nagpur. He was in second MBBS. I stayed in his room and started going to the library and studying MCQs and preparing for the entrance exam. But hardly I prepared for 1 or 2 months, and again I started wandering here and there. And in this period, the third turning point came, where again I went into silence. And this was the profound and the deepest silence. In that period, I visited almost all the institutions in India. Ramana Maharishi, Art of Living, Chinmay Mission, Ramakrishna Mission, Divine Life Society, you name, and I went there. Not just that, all the different techniques of meditation, all the different institutions which were there. Eastern philosophy and Western philosophy and Karl Marx, St. Bernard, St. John, St. Assisi, everything that one could study. Not only that, I started going out of Hinduism and started studying other religions. And one day, I was sitting in Ramakrishna Math, and there was Aarti going on, and suddenly I went into a trance-like stage. And I became bodiless. And I started going there every day. And there were a lot of books kept over there. I started studying all the Upanishads, studied Ramakrishna. all the 8 volumes of Vivekananda, and I was fired with a sense of renunciation. I don't want this world, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. I hate this world, this dream, this nightmare, with its fair faces and false heart, with its howling righteousness on the surface and utter hollowness within, with its sanctified shopkeeping. I detest this world. I don't want this world. All these words went deeper in the consciousness. And in that period of silence, now I started seeing two things. I become a doctor post-graduation and serving patients. And on the other side, I renounce this world and devote my life to know what is God, who am I, what I have to do in life. I studied most of the saints, whatever saints. That library has hundreds of books. R.K. Mutt in Nagpur. And in that period of silence, in that profound silence, I started seeing visions. The goal of life is just one. To know who am I and nothing else. What is God? And I was fired with that love of God. And I decided to give up this world and take sannyasa. When I revealed this information to my brother, he was shocked. He could not take it. He said, whatever you do, do it, but first go and inform at home. I went home. I thought there would be a minor blast, but it would be a major blast. I was not aware. It was a huge blast. About 150 people came to convince me. Lot of Satyanarayan pujas and many other things were done. They said, oh, don't know what wrong deed we did in our past that this day has come. It has happened because of these books. If you wanted to do that, you should have told before. We would not have made you to go through this MBBS, because we all three, my sister, my brother, three persons, three different places, all doing MBBS. My father was in post office. So they said all education was done on loan on the toppers list, because we all three were toppers. So they said, you should have told before. I said, I didn't know. My mother was an ardent devotee of Ganapati. She dipped the Ganapati into water. Unless and until this disaster is removed, you cannot escape. You have to go there, sit in the water. And many other things were done. My father wrote a letter to Atal Bihari Vajpayee, 6-page letter. My son has been hypnotized. Please help this helpless father. And many other things they did. And every day new thing, and every day something or other. So this was on one side. On another side, internally I was restless. The more the opposition, the more the vairagya, and the more the restlessness. What to do, what to do, what to do. And the same time, my MBBS result came. I was again the overall topper there. So again their sorrow increased. Even I had given entrance exam, that result came, and I was getting some MD somewhere. I gave up that seat. What should I take? God or this post-graduation? The vairag was intense. I was not ready to listen to anybody. Every day new people would come and they would try to convince me. Stop, stop, stop. Somebody got their daughter and they said, she is doing MBBS. You are both together, open an ashram and do something, do bhakti and do seva. I was adamant, unstoppable. And many other things happened, many, many things. I had a loan to clear. I'd taken here, there, and multiple things done. And at last, when I was ready to renounce this world, After having studied all the institutions of the India, in India, everything I did not leave. I made a list of about 50 institutions where I should go. Kept Brahma Kumaris at the last. Because I saw this is a woman-dominated organization. What I will do there? Even if I go, I don't want to go and come, go and come. I cannot tolerate such philosophy. If I go, I will be inside. There was a fellow monk of Swami Vivekananda who used to go home again and again to see his mother, to see his sister. And Swamiji said, I don't want ambiguous type of personalities who are half householders and half monks out. Either go that side or this side. So I was not ready. So that's why I kept it at the last. But after having studied all the religions, I understood all paths lead to the same place. So let it be there. And my elder sister, she was doing MBBS, 1 year elder to me. She got attached to this Brahma Kumaris. But the moment she came in this Gyan, there was a widespread opposition in our family. She stopped eating from outside. And my father threw away all these lambs and everything. And they stopped her from going to the center. But still she continued in a surreptitious manner. So multiple things happened. And at last when I decided now I had to go. And I decided I would go to Chennai, Mylapore. Even I had one visit there, I kept my bag, and there were lot many other things happened. My father said, you have to do, I did a job in between for 6 months because I had a loan to pay. But my father said, you have left the job in between, you have to give 2 lakhs to the government, it's a bond. So I came back again from Chennai after 7 days. And at last it was decided, now I have to go. I met my friend who was a lawyer and all. So my sister told me, okay, you go. It is final that you are going. I had even my mantra diksha at Belur, Oda. But just go through Mount Abu. So my plan was 26th November 2003. I sat in the common bogie. The train has all the reserve compartment by all these BKs and they took me. The sister was told one doctor is sitting inside in the common bogie. And I started. And that was the point I came in this institution wearing jeans and t-shirt, but fired with love of God, fired with intense passion, fired with the knowledge of Upanishads, scriptures, all the philosophers, lives of saints, and the desire to know the truth of life. What is it? What is it? What is it? If I do not know the truth, I will die. And at that age of 21, I entered this campus. You must have seen Shantivan. So I entered the gate. And I felt, oh, I know this place, deja vu. I felt I know this place. First night, there were 4 brothers in my room, 5 of us sleeping. I had some visions. I woke up. I tried to chant my Ram Raksha and Hanuman Chalisa and all those. I forgot everything. I thought there is some mesmerization here. These people are very dangerous people. They can do hypnosis. But I am very strong. I am not going to yield. For 3 days, I was roaming here and there in the campus, not knowing where to go, whom to meet, what to talk. And then there was one program. It is called as Baba Milan in Diamond Hall. And I was sitting there from 3 o'clock till 11 o'clock. And there, I got a deep, divine, spiritual experience. For 9 months, I was struggling alone, one side, another side, the whole world. Everybody tried to convince, trying to convince me, stop. And that point, I stopped. Something happened which cannot be described in words. It is indescribable. I was crying and crying and crying. And somebody told me, the one whom you are searching, I am that. I saw everybody on the stage, Christ, Buddha, Guru Nanak, everybody, whomsoever I read, all those saints, the saints from Maharashtra, the saints from Karnataka and South, Akka Mahadevi, everybody I started seeing. And everybody told, this is the one whom you are searching. And I stopped. And for the first time I slept after 9 months. Next day they said, okay, move for the sightseeing. So we went to Mount Abu. I saw the hospital, I remembered, oh, I am a doctor. I went inside and I said, I want to join. He said, which center you belong? I said, I don't have any center. So doctor said, medical director, sir, you bring the letter. I went home. I announced sannyas is cancelled. So Ganpati came out from the water. But said, I am going to Mount Abu. He said, go, 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 go. I can't see you with that dress. This is how I landed up in this place. I was here in 2003 for 1.5 years. Again, I gave the entrance exam. First, I had given up. Again, I got post-graduation. I went out for 5 years, 6 months in Mumbai and many other places, called Hyderabad and other places. And I came back in 2010. And from 2010 till now, last 16 years, I'm here and trying to understand this knowledge in depth and how this is the last and the ultimate station of life. There was, as I said, there was not a single institution where I did not go. And with every passing day, this understanding has increased. And right now, I'm in front of you, having two parts. First, looking after hospital, the entire medicine department. And on other side, a spiritual lifestyle that begins early morning from 2 o'clock. And I have understood different aspects of purity of brahmacharya, digital detox, food, how the food affects the consciousness. I shifted to entire fruitarian diet, understood the pranic journey, and many other transformations happened. And that's why I'm here to talk to you about Human 2.0 or O. How this human is different from human 1.0. Just as we upgrade our skills, just as we upgrade our softwares and our tools and our gadgets, spirituality is a journey of upgrading the one who is utilizing all this. And that's what you all are here for. I will also tell you one thing. Probably from these speeches you may not get much, but just move around in the campus. Just catch hold of any random person who is working here and ask that person why you are here. The answer that you will get from that person would be the most eloquent speech of this conference. The answer that will come from the illiterate. The answer that will come from that person who is unaware of even this conference, that speech, that, because that would not be word, it would be experience. And we are emotional beings. Logic is there, but we transform when emotions overtake. From my side, if any single person of this institution had come and tried to convince me about this philosophy, I would have rejected it. Giving them all the proofs from scriptures, from where you have got this different esoteric knowledge of 5,000 years and this and that. I have never heard this before. There is a strong Shankaracharya's Vedanta with me, which says, Aham Brahmasmi Sarva Kalvidam Brahma. and from where you are bringing this entirely new knowledge, which is not described in a single scripture, which goes against all the existing philosophies of the world. So it's a divine revelation. That's why you all are here, to understand the entire spectrum, not just the fragments. So we will see at least 7 points of this human 2.0. The first, this human is an awakened personality, a conscious personality. There is a divine awakening has happened before, within. We move, we walk, we talk, and everything, there is a divine awakening within. The greatest sin of mankind is unconsciousness. And the greatest charity or charitable act or punya is awakened consciousness. The identity has changed. Somebody insults you, you feel angry. Somebody pleases you, praises you, you feel happy. So my response depends upon circumstance. I have to download happiness from outside. And this is a very, very weak stage of the mind. When I understand the happiness is already installed within me, I don't have to take it from outside. When I know who am I, Tattvamasi, thou art that, then the new understanding happens. The awakened consciousness happened. So this awakened human being is 2.0. 1.0 human being reacts. 2.0 responds. You see something deeper. You see something higher. You see something transcendental. You don't run away from things. You are here only. But your perspective has totally changed. Your viewpoint has totally changed. People often ask me, don't you feel tired? I said, no, I don't feel tired ever. First, because of the diet, there is a complete lightness within. Second, because of nature. I enjoy nature. If you go to Mount Abu, you will see that AQI, air quality index, is just 50 around. Such a pure air. There are mountains around. And last 16 years, I have spent hours together in the vicinity of nature, alone. I love to walk alone, to think, to churn, to communicate, to talk with oneself, to talk with the higher power, to churn knowledge, to contemplate. And I love that silence and I love that solitude. Sunday usually is holiday. So on Monday, we have an hectic OPD. About 100 patients per day, emergency, 24 hours on call. It takes me a lot of some struggle to come from that silence to speech again. And I understood spiritual life is a silent life, a life of silence, a life of solitude, a life where you sit in nature and you hear the chirping of the birds, you see the clouds. You see the beauty of the nature, you are in touch with nature. You download information from the library of the universe. And this awakening happens. I can just tell you that wherever you live, take out some time, spend time in silence, go in solitude. Go near nature and see the beauty. Rather than remaining shut up in a closed room in front of screen all the time. Rabindranath Tagore had written a small story about himself. He said that I was in a ship in a boat, reading some book inside. It was dark night. The candle was there and I was reading. And I was reading the book on beauty. Suddenly the candle got extinguished. I went, came out and I saw it's a, such a starry and beautiful night. The beauty was here outside. I was searching beauty in the books. The beauty is there out. The life is beauty. The life is that music, is that symphony, is that beautiful cadence where you feel connected with yourself. So the this new human being, upgraded version of human being, if you don't update, if you don't upgrade, softwares don't work. If you don't upgrade your consciousness, automatically you enter into the stage of burnouts, dullness, same routine, doing the same autopilot mode, giving the same reactions, the same programming. Where is the newness? So the first is this. The second is blissful state of the mind. Human 2.0 is a blissful personality. It is not dull and drab. You are enjoying every moment. You are enjoying every aspect of life. You rejoice, you dance, you move, you sing. And this is a new understanding that I got here. Earlier, whilst reading all those scriptures, my mind was more towards renouncing the world. But then I understood all the renunciation is in the mind here. You can be in the top of the mountain doing tapasya there and entire market is in your head. That doesn't make any sense. Bliss is my nature. I am Satchidananda Swarup. I am here. I rejoice. You move from upgrade from body consciousness to another level of soul consciousness. I stop seeing this is male, this is female, this is beautiful, she is beautiful, she is less beautiful, he is ugly, he is handsome. In this nature, that nature, spirituality uplifts you. And you enter into that platonic relationship, non-physical relationship. You understand something more. And purity comes to you on the platter. And the life of purity is the greatest life. Where everything is so pure. There is nothing to hide. There is truth within. There is purity within. Your dreams are pure. Your attitude is pure. There is just the feeling. Bahujana hitaya, bahujana sukhaya. For the good of many. For the welfare of many. When I was a very small child, I used to dream of mountains and mountains. And when I came here, I understood that these are those mountains. When I was in my brother's room and in silence, there I had seen the huge whole humanity is in front of me. And I am giving them the message of God's love. And I saw that getting materialized. So the intense and the purer desires of the mind, they get fulfilled. If you know the book Alchemist, the author says, if you desire something very intensely, the entire universe conspires to make it come true. So if you have a very pure desire, you want to do something, that desire would materialize. The seed will fructify. The desire should be pure. Extremely pure desires. And we get lost in murky desires of the body, the carnal and the lustful desires of the body. And it is so difficult to come out of all those lower planes of sensual happiness. We get trapped. Spirituality is a journey from body to soul. It's a journey from sensuality to spirituality, to higher happiness. We don't give up anything. There is a person, there is a small child, you show that child a bigger doll and small doll. Which doll he will take? Bigger. So God is that bigger. When you take that bigger, the smaller happiness pales into insignificance. So the second upgradation is blissful. You enjoy, you rejoice, you understand the bliss of life. Otherwise, you see how the people are working. They are stressful. They are stressed. So much have worry, stress. Always thinking about future or something like that. The third is creativity. The new human being would be a creative human being. You must have heard of a... There was a young boy. His name was... In Kerala, one boy was there. He was in 10th standard. He thought of doing something new. He read some story and he thought of doing something new. He started collected books from his village and he started a small library. And gradually that small library became into so big thing. Sneha Sparsham, that library. It has been recognized by Kerala Education, Child Education Society. So that started as a small idea. And there's one more person, Sriman Narayan. He was going through in a bus. He saw a bird falling down. He asked, "What is this? Why the bird fell down?" Somebody informed, "The bird was thirsty. The weather is so sultry." He went home and thought, "What I can do for these birds?" And he started making earthen pots. And that started as a very small idea. And it has become such a big thing now. He presented the 1,000th, his 1 lakh earthen pot to Prime Minister of India. You can read about this. The old man, he did not want any praise or any recognition. He just did it for joy, some newness, some creativity. When the mind is pure, creativity automatically comes. When the mind is filled with murky desires, sensuality and selfish things, it is very difficult to become creative. You know, A.R. Rahman had said somewhere that I want to compose a new music. I enter into a new space, a new place, sometimes new country. And I stop thinking about awards. I stop thinking about the recognition. I stop thinking about everything. And gradually, the music and I become one. And in that space, the new music comes. Somewhere Michael Jackson has said, "When I dance, a stage comes. When dancer and dance become one." This is the space of silence. The observed and the observed, Jay Krishnamurti says, become one. So that state of consciousness, when you are in tune with nature, when you are in tune with the universe, all secrets come to you on their own accord. You don't have to do anything. You move, you walk, you do anything. Automatically things will come to you. So creativity. Try to be creative. Change things. Change the structure of your office, your room. Put furniture on this side and that side and see the changes. Change everything. Sit here and imagine how that should be. When you change the atmosphere, when you change the room, the places, the furniture, your mindset changes. So new things, new lifestyle, new routine. A routine that will have everything. Once upon a time, I thought, let me run from Mount Abu to Abu Road. I started practicing and practicing and practicing. Did 5K, 7K, 10K. And then one day, mustered up courage and I ran down. It was a very pleasurable thing. And after that, multiple half marathons. Multiple half marathons. Not to win any race. Not to win any competition. Because when you run, you are with yourself. There's nobody on the road. So you understand a deeper secret of life. Nobody on right side, nobody on left side. Nobody behind, nobody out ahead. This is the flight of the alone to the alone. This is a solo journey of life. I call this person mine, that person mine. Are they really there? Or it is the illusion? It's there in my mind. So you realize the truths of life. The thoughts become very different. You know, you are sitting here, so a lot of waste thoughts attack you. But when you walk, thoughts reduced. And when you run, thoughts further reduced. And a rabid and a wild, mad dog is after you. And you are running. Are you thinking, oh, this person is so rich, I am less rich. His salary is more, my salary is more, less. His car is more beautiful. Are you thinking, a wild, mad dog is running behind you? You are in flow, so there is no thought. So, motion. Body loves to move. Energy loves to move. That's why gym, exercise, Tai Chi, Qigong, everything that moves the body, every joint is a chakra. The body loves to move. When you move the body, you change the mindset. Next is detachment. The new human being would be a detached person. You do everything and yet you remain detached. Anasakt. You work, you serve, you do everything throughout the day. But in next moment, you are detached from everything. If you remain attached, you become... Every expectation leads to disaster in this world. You expect from people, you meet with disaster. You are downloading outside happiness. Here I don't have to. I work, I get detached. But it is not going to come in a jiffy. It will take long time. It will need entire change of mindset. You need similar minded people. And you need good place. Now you are here. You know, the vibes are so powerful here. Very, very powerful vibrations. Even if you go up, you go in Pandabhavan. Early morning, I see so strong vibrations there. Spiritual vibrations. Even if you want, you cannot become body conscious. You remain in that floating stage of soul consciousness. Everything light. All light and light. All human beings. So you don't see bodies, you see beings of lights and angels around. So, detachment. Next is empowered. Somebody says something, somebody says a sarcastic remark of 5 minutes, and you keep thinking about you for 5 hours, 5 days, or even 5 months or 5 years. You don't forget. So, who is strong? He or you? That word has entered, pierced you. Spirituality makes you impregnable. Nothing can pierce me now. I am strong. Somebody had sent a picture on WhatsApp. A deer, young deer, one arrow and it fell down. Now the same deer has become matured and old. Multiple arrows it is standing. The world will hit you many arrows. But you remain stable. You remain unfazed. Undisturbed. That undisturbed state of the mind, that sthitapragya yogi state of the mind, we have to achieve. The world has no power to decide what I have to do. I will decide. The remote of my happiness is in my hand. Spirituality is a journey of remote vapsi. You take back the remote. Somebody pushes the button, happiness, I become happy. Somebody pushes the button, sorrow, I become sorrowful. What sort of life is this? I am at beck and call of their whims and fancies. So, empowered. Next is fearless. Every person lives in the state of fear. What will happen? The fear, the greatest fear is the death. But even greater than that is the fear of the unknown. What is going to happen? What is going to happen to my money in the bank? What is going to happen to my children, my house, my job? If I lose everything, what will happen? There are so many lurking, invisible fears in the mind. So, but when you meditate, you recharge your consciousness. The battery has become 10%. Now it needs meditation. That's why if you see in this institution, early morning they get up and sit in meditation from 4 to 4:45. That's the period where you recharge yourself. Where the atmosphere is so powerful, Pratas Marami Ridhisans Puradatma Tattvam Satchit Sukham Paramahansa Gatim Turiyam Tad Brahma Nishkalamaham Nachabhati Bhuta Sangham. I am not this assemblage of body. Nachabhati Bhuta Sangham. I am that, the pure soul, a powerful soul. So when you get situated in that bodiless stage, the vibrations of the soul will penetrate the brain and the cortex. And new neural pathways would be created, neuroplasticity. And you enter into the stage of fearlessness. The last got connected. This human being would be always connected to God, a supreme power, an invisible power working as a canopy. And if you see, in this institution, hundreds of mothers and many people are there. You just ask them, what is your spiritual experience? They will narrate a beautiful miracle that happened in their life. When God, you move with God. You move, you are connected to that higher energy. All the time. He is protecting me. I am in His canopy. So, you enter a new state of consciousness. So, this is human 2.0. So, we have seen 7 points. The first is awakened. So, get awakened. Probably this is the turning point of your life. To come here. You have not come here on your own will. Nobody has brought you here. Don't think that this conference has brought you here. To come to this place, lots requires something else. And that something else is punya, which you have earned over many lives. That punya has pushed you to this place. Otherwise, it is not possible to come here. Impossible. This is the divine line. This is the sanctuary of spirituality. This is the divine island of spirituality. The first is awakened consciousness. The second is blissful state of the mind. No matter what's happening. Somebody is praising, somebody is giving dislike. Nothing affects. You move towards stability. Samatha, equanimity, equipoise. The third is creativity. New things. What new I can do in my life? What is the missing link? What is the missing link in relationship? What is the missing link in my relationship with digital world? What is where what is missing? The next is detachment. Detachment is a power. I have seen that. Detachment is a power. If I get attached to my speaking, if I get attached to you, I will be sorrowful. To speak and the very next moment get detached. Because I am just an instrument. The tank is above. I am just the tap. The water is in that tank. The water has decided to flow through me. So what is the ego? Muhammad Rafi had said sometime, it is God's voice which is coming out through this throat. It is His voice. If I say I sing so well, it will be egoistic. It is His grace which has fallen upon me. I am just the channel, an instrument, a flute. He is the flute player. The next is empowered. Get powered. Invisible powers. Spiritual powers. The power not to take bribe is the spiritual power. You can become a topper in any exam, but that is not the real power. Real power is truth. Real power is brahmacharya. The unbroken brahmacharya. The real power is purity. The next, fearless. You move in this world unafraid. So when you have to hide something, when you have black money leads to black mind. When you have to hide your money, you are not hiding money, you are hiding mind. Money is mind and mind is money. And the last is God connection. This human 2.0 is God-connected human being. You move, you live, you have your being in Him. So this is, in short, the journey is ahead. You should explore. I will not say that you accept a single thing spoken by any speaker here. Just put everything in the reject list. You weigh, you judge, you analyze, you utilize your own intellect and then judge. Don't accept anything because it is said by somebody. Don't accept anything because it is written in books. Don't accept anything because it is said by somebody senior. Don't accept anything because it has been hallowed by traditions. Find the truth yourself. So that is the last and the ultimate message. Om Shanti.
Na unki jeet antim hai, na apni haar antim hai, na unki jeet antim hai, na apni haar antim hai. Utho o naujawano, utho o naujawano, inqilabon ke naye sanskaran rachne ka samay phir aa raha hai. कि जीवन को चटक गुलनार करने का समय फिर आ रहा है. सुनो इतिहास कहता है, सुनो इतिहास कहता है, पराजय झेल कर ही क्रांतियां परवान चढ़ती है, नया इतिहास बनता है. अंधेरा आज गहरा है, अंधेरा आज गहरा है, सकल जन मुक्त होंगे एक दिन निश्चित, समय का ज्ञान कहता है. सजेंगे फिर नए लश्कर, मचेगा रण महाभीषण, सजेंगे फिर नए लश्कर, मचेगा रण महाभीषण. उठो ओ शिल्पियों, उठो ओ शिल्पियों, नव युद्ध के उपकरण गढ़ने का समय फिर आ रहा है. कि जीवन को चटक गुलनार करने का समय फिर आ रहा है. नए संकल्प लें फिर से, नए नारे गढ़ें फिर से. उठो संग्रामियों जागो, उठो संग्रामियों जागो, नई शुरुआत करने का समय फिर आ रहा है. कि जीवन को चटक गुलनार करने का समय फिर आ रहा है. फिर आ रहा है, फिर आ रहा है.